would see me and say, oh, you got knocked out of the bank because of this private equity firm up in New York. And, you know, people that never put a penny into the bank, you know, were going to knock me out. I was the, you know, I was the founder, or I am the founder, and I'm chairman, CEO. It was one reason I left, and that was because of tax planning. I needed to sell about 1 million shares of stock to take a tax loss on because of a big real estate deal I had done. And it was that simple. And then it was sort of alleged that I was kicked out by these people up in New York who I really didn't have a great deal of respect for. And, you know, so I just wanted to get that straight.
Let me ask you a question. I've owned small businesses in the past. I have a lot of friends that are small business owners. How difficult was that for you to, you know, not only walk away from something that you created, but to walk away from the largest independent bank in Maryland? That had to be difficult.
Well, you know, I think the people pretty much say, without being, I don't want to sound egotistical about this, but, you know, the bank was so closely aligned with me because I formed it. I've hired all the people that were there, all the directors, I mean, all the people, most of the people that are there right now, not all of them, were hired by me. And, you know, we did, we opened a lot of branches, and we served the public. We really did. We served, you know, the every man and the smaller businesses where you can't, you know, back then you could not call, even today, you can't call Bank of America. You can't call some of the other banks around here without disparaging some of them and, you know, get a loan. You just couldn't, you know, you couldn't talk to anybody. We talked to everyone. We invited people into the bank, and we were the quintessential bank for Baltimore and our region. And we really served a lot of people, did a lot in charities and all that sort of thing. And we got hit. If you're a community bank, you do real estate. And if you do real estate, we got hit like everybody else. And it was really with Wall Street loans, that the loans that we sold to Wall Street, they sent them back to us. It was a terrible thing, but it happened.
Do you feel that First Mariner and smaller banks in general were unfairly targeted by federal regulators? I mean, you look at the bailout and the trouble that Bank of America has gone through along with Citi and others. I mean, did you feel that First Mariner Bank was unfairly targeted?
Well, I think that it's not First Mariner as much as it just rolls downhill. We're easy to get at. You know, we don't have the cadre of lawyers that they have. You know, you have big expense in order to defend yourself for what you had done or had not done. And it was very difficult for us to do that. You know, we were easy targets. And I think if you look at just the number of banks that used to be around, you know, 15, 20 years ago, they're not here anymore. And, you know, it's in this environment, it's very difficult to survive.
And I think it's dangerous because you look at the relationship between big banks and big government, you know, how they walk in harmony. They're not in the best interest of the consumer. And I think it's dangerous that we're seeing smaller local banks go by the wayside.
Well, if you're going to start Mathis Manufacturing today, Jimmy, you know, and you got to call somebody, you have a great idea and you have a pro forma and things look pretty good, you have customers, and you call up, you know, one of the bigger banks, even regional banks, and tell them, I have a plan, I'd like to see you. They won't talk to you.
Yeah.
They just won't. You know, it's virtually impossible. Back when I was starting as a kid, you know, I went to a bank and I told them what I was going to do with my trucks and barges and things, and I could talk to them. Now you can't, because most of those banks have ceased to exist, and you have these, it's almost going to be like Australia. It's got like two or three banks. That's what we're going to be one day.
And I think that's scary. Let's fast forward. You're Baltimore through and through, owner of the Blast. I know that you had an interest in buying the Baltimore Arena, which carries First Mariner's name. City saying that the old Civic Center is not for sale.
Well, you know, I thought that, you know, we do have an ongoing dispute over, you know, who owns the billboards that I put on the arena. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been going on for quite a while. You know, just for your background, and try not to make it too complex, I simply wanted to put billboards on the arena to augment the revenue that I would have for the Blast to really deflect some of my losses. It was that simple. I don't care about the arena and the way it looks. It's not my building.
Right.
So I did it, and I put fiber optics and put the billboards. I went through all the planning, zoning, board of estimates, and all those things. It took a long time, put them up, only to be sued by Peter Angelos, which cost me about $630,000 to defend myself. I won. Peter and I are friends today, but it was difficult. And, you know, I went to the mayor, and, you know, I said, please extend. We had a 10-year deal. Mm-hmm. Please extend it year to year, as we don't know if we're going to have a new arena or in convention center or not. So if you're planning on it, why don't you just renew it year to year? They didn't do that, and they did the naming rights, and they did the sale of the billboards. They claimed that the billboards were theirs, and they gave it to really an out-of-town company. It's called Legends, to sell the billboards. It's owned by George Steinbrenner and Jerry Jones from Dallas.
Right.
And they haven't sold any of the billboards. And I don't have the revenue this year for the Baltimore Blast. It's hurt me very much. It's hurt me not to have the revenue. And that is the problem. So I thought, why don't we, in order to end the hostilities, why don't you sell me the arena?
Okay.
And, I never got a response for quite a while, and then they just sent the very terse thing that the arena's not for sale. That was it. I wanted to talk to them, but they don't want to talk to me.
That was your goal, to keep it in its current condition, to create a new arena, to refurbish it?
Well, I would definitely try to refurbish it. You know, it needs, the way you go about doing any real estate deal, if you're a private sector person like me, is you go in, you do due diligence, see if all the HVAC and the electric and all those systems are working, and you take a look at it, and then you do an appraisal. You get an appraisal, they get an appraisal, and then you have a firm that you would get an appraisal firm that would be independent in the middle, and then we would make a deal that way. I've done this before with the city. They didn't answer.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm looking at this, as an outsider, and I get the tiff back and forth on the signage in front of the building. But if I were the mayor, I mean, I would be jumping over your offer. I mean, this is a conversation, since I was a kid, Ed, on whether we're going to build a new arena. That's been a conversation that's been going on forever, on updating that thing, possibly getting a hockey team or another NBA team, bring in better concerts, really doubling down on the tourism in the city of Baltimore. I would think they would be all over that.
Well, I would think that, it would end the hostilities. Selfishly, it would end that. We could do it. I like the management. Frank Remish runs the arena. He's a good guy, and he works for SMG. I think they're a very good company, and I would keep them. And I would really see if we could, make the place a little bit nicer and, put a little bit of money into it and try to attract more events there. And that was basically it. And it also stops all this ridiculous. The city is defending, using the city law department to defend George Steinbrenner and Jerry Jones. I find that to be appallingly bad form. I do.
Yeah.
And they're not going to like me saying this to you, but that's what I think. And, I don't think you as a citizen here, you like that either.
No, I'm surprised that you keep coming back and trying to create new businesses in Baltimore, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at the mass exodus of business out of this state over the last 15 years from GM, Pepsi Bottling, Beretta will eventually be gone. Some good news this week with Amazon, but it's getting tougher and tougher to attract business to Baltimore. You would think that you have a local, homegrown guy here that's trying to, revitalize the city, that they'd be more receptive to it.
Well, I love the city. I really do. I mean, I've been there most of my business career. I love doing it. I love, the Canton Crossing was something I conceived, and it's been wonderful, and it's a great shopping center, and you have a nice tower and all those sorts of things over there. I have always done that, and I've really gotten no credit for it. Hey, how about giving me a break for what I've done? And here's one thing that I've could never ask for. I never asked for a penny, no tips, none of the stuff that's going on at Harbor Point and all what's happened in Harbor East. I've never asked for a penny from anyone. I've done it on my own totally. And, I did this. So I thought that they would give me some sort of a break or at least consideration. And, I have not received that. And they want to be transparent. They want to make sure that, the mayor and I have been friends for many, many, many years. And they want to make sure it's transparent, and I understand that. But to the extent that it would really not be a good business decision to do what they've done, I don't get that they didn't at least give me some sway.
Mr. Hill, let me ask you a question. You've put so much money into downtown. You built a 17-story building that was the corporate offices for First Mariner Bank. Also, I believe you lived in the penthouse on the top of it. You got Canton Crossing trying to buy the arena. One of the problems that the city has been this mass exodus of residents, out of it. I mean, even the mayor came and said she was looking to repopulate the base, not the tax base, but the, you know, the population on the back of illegal immigrants. What does the city need to do to attract younger, affluent couples back into Baltimore City?
Well, I've mentioned this to Governor O'Malley, you know, when he was mayor and when he was governor. I'm at my farm down in Easton right now, and he came over here after he just got reelected. He said, "What do you think? What do you think, Ed?" And I said, "Well, I really like, you know, I like him personally. He's a good guy, and you know, I really like his secretary of EBED, Economic Development, Dominic Murray." And I told him the same thing, and he's very good and very effective. Dominic is. I think you have to, you know, really take care of business retention here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose anybody. You know, I don't know all the dynamics of this bottle tax and things, but you know, if you, you know, have a, you know, an 83-year-old business leaving town, that's not good optics for anybody.
Sure.
So retain the businesses here, make us feel good. And when Schaefer was the mayor, I would go with him. You know, we would go overseas. I would speak on how wonderful the city is because I believed it. I would go when he was governor, and you know, I would go all over the world and do speeches about how great it is as a private sector citizen having a business here, how great it is in Baltimore to do it. You know, that's just not done anymore, and because, you know, people are leaving town.
Let me ask you a question. You go from, you know, being on television, the face of First Mariner Bank, you know, the slogan, "We built this bank for you," to really kind of, you know, going off the grid for a couple years. And then this front page article in the Baltimore Sun comes out yesterday. And it seems, I mean, it's not a chip on your shoulder, but it seems like you really wanted to set the story straight on a lot of things. What is it that made you step forward now on this?
Well, you hit it. I wanted to set the record straight. You know, I sold my tower. It was very difficult to get it financed, if not impossible, because of the things what happened with financing big buildings.
Yeah,
you know, and people said, I think articles were written maybe in the Baltimore Business Journal that Hale lost Canton Crossing or did not develop Canton Crossing. So I wanted to get that straight. And but this private sector firm coming in from New York saying that they were, you know, sort of implying that they were forcing me out was very offensive to me, and I wanted to wait for the proper time to say something. So I waited, and that's what I did. Canton Crossing has opened up. You know, I think that Canton Crossing is wonderful. It's a shame that the bank has not been recapitalized. I mean, they're going along, and they make some money one quarter and lose some money. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I believe that, you know, we should try to keep and embrace it. As citizens in Baltimore, you know, I'm still the largest stockholder there.
Right.
I believe that we should do that, and we should, you know, patronize Canton Crossing, patronize the bank, because these are local businesses. I've given people really what they wanted when I started these things. You know, I made some mistakes, there's no question. But at the same time, I've given people really, the neighbors, they asked me, would you please build a shopping center? We can't even buy towels here. We have to go to White Marsh and all these different towels, and we don't want to do that. We want to do it here. Well, now they have it. So I tried to do the right thing, and I'm very happy about it. I just wanted to set the record straight. I did very well with developing Canton over my career.
Before I let you go, and this is an unfair question, in my personal life, you know, look, you got to live in the moment. You can't. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. But going back 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, would have you had First Mariner Bank so invested in residential mortgages?
You really need to do residential mortgages to build your customer base.
Yeah,
it's a good source of fee income. If you don't do that in your local bank, you know, you really don't do well. There's a couple local banks that have gotten out of the mortgage business, and you know, they haven't done very well. They did not do as well as we did. Maybe they didn't lose quite as much, but at the same time, it's one of the backbones of a local community bank. But you know, I mentioned that in that article, we need to do more Mathis manufacturing.
Yep.
And we need to do that. It annuitizes your portfolio in a bank. You need to do both. So I believe that, I really do hope that people do embrace that bank and really stay there.